Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle while I drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. Traffic is bad in DC, and that gives me about 11 minutes in bumper to bumper every week to just talk shop and give bite-sized strategies and ideas that we can put in play in our courses and our content areas, whether you teach littles or middles, high schools, all the way up to big kids. It's great to be talking about things that are just pedagogy and like the technique because then we can change the game in our classrooms. So thank you for tuning in. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcasting app, or leave us a nice rating that helps people find the podcast. Or you can message me on Twitter. I'm at MeehanEDU, which is like my last name and like education, because I'm all fired up to talk more with you. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this week's topic, which we'll get to in a moment. Just a little bit of housekeeping too. I also have a website. It's Adrenaline Rush. So it's www.edrenalinerush.com. Like educational adrenaline, like I'm fired up about teaching. And that's the name of the book, Adrenaline Rush, all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. Three things to get those positive chemicals flowing in our bodies, which makes us feel pretty invincible, and ways we do that in our classrooms too. So today I want to talk about feeling invincible, and feeling bold, and feeling brave, and feeling we're on a quest. And I want to take us way back to Monty Python and the Holy Grail. If you've never seen it, like, stop what you're doing right now and just pause the podcast and just re-examine your life choices. You need to watch that movie. Like, do it right now. Go to Amazon, stream it. Go to the internet, find a copy of it in whatever legal fashion or creative fashion you can. And Monty Python and the Holy Grail tells us the story of King Arthur and the Grail Knights working their way through, I guess, ancient legendary times of the medieval knights so that they could find the Holy Grail. And that's the story. It's a series of comedy vignettes done by this Monty Python troupe, who are brilliant. And in the end of the thing, without giving too much away, they encounter a bridge over this giant chasm, like smoke's pouring out of it, and it looks like clearly deadly. And before they cross the bridge, there's a gatekeeper, an old man in tattered rags, and he stops them and he says, you know, whoever is going to cross the bridge has to answer three questions before he sees the other side. And if you answer the questions right, you're allowed to cross the bridge of death and make your way on to continue your quest. But if you get so much as one question wrong, he'll take you and throw you into the pit, like through his magical powers. And it's, of course, a comedy sketch, so these people are like catapulted, and you know, it's like almost like Wile E. Coyote or Goofy, where they find themselves thrown into the pit. But I'm going to give some spoilers that at least one of them doesn't make it alive. But the first knight, Brave, steps up. He's like, I'll do it. And it's Sir Lancelot. Now, Lancelot is asked the questions, and he says, you got to answer these three questions correctly, or else you're going to be thrown in the pit. Okay, good. First question Lancelot asks is, what is your name? Not a very hard question. He's able to get it right there on the spot. Second question is, what is your quest? And Lancelot's like, seek the Grail. And the bridge keeper's like, all right. Third question, what is your favorite color? And Lancelot, without missing a beat, he says, favorite color, I don't know, blue. And right that, the bridge keeper says, oh, very well, you can pass that. That's it. Why are we talking about this on an education podcast, right? This is your welcome back to class pop quiz every day. The teacher wants to make sure you did last night's reading. You are now the bridge keeper who can throw them into the pit of death. And the child, as they come to your classroom, as one of three questions they have to answer. In your case, maybe it's five questions or 10 questions. It is the quintessential gotcha quiz to prove a point about their reading. But let's say your first period class is Lancelot. They take your test. That doesn't necessarily mean that they actually read last night. They just happen to know those three answers. And in the era of 24/7 internet connectivity, there's a lot of ways you can get those answers. If we dig too deep into the source material and get really geeky nerdy here for a second, Lancelot is more famous for ruining King Arthur's court than he is for being the legendary good knight, right? We all know he was sort of the reason for Arthur and Guinevere's marriage falling apart. And so we kind of dig deep into it. Of all the knights to make their way across the bridge, he seems like the least noble of them. But you, the bridge keeper of death, right? You are the one who's given the quiz. He's your first period student, and you cooked up that quiz in whatever way you decided to. And so noble or not noble, whether he has those answers because he read the book, or he has those answers because he had an older brother who took your course, or he has those answers because he has a girlfriend who texted him those answers before class, or gave him a heads up about the type of things he needed to know for the quiz, that gotcha quiz he sails right on through it. And only afterwards does the bridge keeper, or the, you know, before the bridge of death, realize, I probably need to tighten that one up a little bit. So we get to the second person across the bridge. And I believe in the order, the next person who crossed the bridge is, maybe it's Braves or Robin. Let's say it's Robin for the sake of the thing. I'm sure my Monty Python geeks will help geek me out and hold me accountable here. But Robin shows up. And so the bridge keeper says, you know, before you cross, you have to answer the three questions. Robin gets a little cocky. And he's like, I got it. Go ahead, bridge keeper. I'm not afraid. He says, all right, so what is your name? He says, I'm Robin. Perfect. And he goes, what is your quest? And he's like, seek the Grail. And he says, question three, what is the capital of Assyria? And Robin immediately is like, I don't know that. And the second he says that he doesn't know, immediately Robin is flung into the pit of death, where you know, he meets an untimely end. I think it is Robin in the movie, but again, I do apologize if I'm being sacrilegious and getting them wrong. Here's the point. Robin is those kids in your second period class between first period when you gave that first test and that second test. And what you did as the bridge keeper, the keeper of the bridge of death, to hold them across, you realized, that was a little too easy. Too many kids sort of skated by. Too many Lancelots, who we know didn't read, got away scot-free because you graded those tests right on the spot. Or maybe they peer graded them and you got a quick check and you noticed that 100% of kids got a perfect score. And that sort of raised you and make an eyebrow. So maybe this second set of kids, you decided, I'm going to swap out question three for a different question three. But that's really not fair. Now, I know you're the teacher, so you determine what fair is. But, like, if there's a thing called fairness in the universe, and the first period kids and the second period kids are getting the same name on the transcript as the teacher who taught the same named course in the course book, then they should have questions of about the same level of difficulty if you were to take your glasses off and squint at those two question sets. And the question of, like, what is your favorite color versus what is the capital of a faraway country is not at the same level of difficulty. But teachers can't help but do this. We make like a second version of the test, and we figured out only after giving the test that maybe version B was in fact a lot harder. Or maybe worse, because we're pressed for time, we never actually do an item analysis to find out the level of difficulty or rigor involved with those questions on that second set or that first set. And so we just say, oh yeah, second period didn't read, but first period did. What can you do? Because you know darn well if you gave the same quiz that first period did, the answers will get out as the day goes on, and that sort of makes it bad for everybody. So we end up taking that second period group of kids and metaphorically throwing them into the pit with that gotcha quiz because we decided to tighten our act up, but in so doing, we maybe over-tightened it, and that first crew we're able to sail by, and that second crew we might have unduly punished until we get it right for the third. That leads us to our third character, and this is in the movie. It's Sir Galahad, the Pure. At least I think so. In the source material, in case you're curious about like the Arthur legends and you want to geek out about this, this is what I did in high school, by the way. I clearly did not have a lot of friends. I read a lot of books. In the source material, Sir Galahad the Pure is actually the only person of the Knights of the Round Table who is worthy to see the Holy Grail and to drink from it. And because he is so pure, major spoilers, he, in seeing the Grail, reaches this state of like rapture and enlightenment. And in consuming its precious contents, he dies. He's assumed to heaven, because what else can you do? Like, once you walk on the moon, nothing left to do, man. He's the only knight of the entire round table deemed worthy to be in the presence of the Grail. Others see it in passing, or others sort of, like, chase it, but he's the one who's able to you know, savor it in all of its glory. Not so much in the Monty Python movie. He gets three questions as well. Question one, what is your name? And he says, Sir Galahad the Pure. What is your quest? He says, to seek the Grail. And then the question again is, what is your favorite color? And he's surprised by how easy that question is. He goes, oh, it's blue. No, green. Before he's able to answer just that little momentary flummox, he, because he got the question wrong now, is taken and thrown into the air and thrown into the pit, and that's the end of Sir Galahad. I think this is really fitting in the classroom, because what Galahad is, if you go to the source material, he's the knight who did the work. He's the knight who stayed up the day before, the weekend before. He studied. He put in the honest effort. He clearly read the source material. He's working really, really hard, not only to be good in your class, but just to be a genuinely good person. And he's putting in his very best efforts, even when the bells are not ringing. But what happens is he hits the test, and he gets a little bit of testing anxiety. And our boy Galahad finds himself flung mercilessly into the pit, in spite of the fact that he read the book. When you look at the story, the source canon, I think Galahad is actually the son of Lancelot. Lancelot is kind of a snake. He's kind of a two-timer, a philanderer, a womanizer, not a great person. But he had easier questions, and what can he do? He skates across. Meanwhile, Galahad is the better knight, the purer, the more, you know, dedicated, the more noble, the more honest student. But with that same gotcha quiz, he's just caught in the, you know, like a deer in the headlights, and that winds up being his undoing. With this very long metaphor, I think about the idea of gotcha quizzes altogether, and I think this is a powerful story that, when I think about my own classroom pedagogy, told me why I needed to get rid of this model of the gotcha quiz for forever. Because when King Arthur shows up at the end, he says to the bridge keeper, "Ask me your questions, let's go. What is your name? I'm King Arthur. All right. What is your quest? I seek the Grail." And then he gets a question from the bridge keeper. He's really trying to make it hard because he sees this man who's the king, and he says, "What is the average wing speed velocity of a unladen swallow?" And Arthur, our king, our hero, says, "Well, do you mean an African swallow or a European swallow?" And that's like a really good clarifying question that a student would ask a teacher. And the teacher wasn't prepared for it. So the bridge keeper's like, "What? Well, I don't know that. I don't know." And when he says that, the teacher himself, the bridge keeper, gets thrown into this pit of death, because we've proven this entire system was arbitrary altogether. And it's sort of fitting that the person who is asking the questions, when asked the legitimate clarifying question about, wait a minute, what do you mean by X? Because X, Y, and Z have been totally different up till now. That one question who just wants to know that answer ends up sort of bringing this whole system down. And so thinking about this as a metaphor for why we need to boot the reason, the daily, you know, gotcha quizzes, and find new systems and ways to get students engaged that are not just a matter of, can you guess what the teacher has guessed about what I need you to guess about the guessing game, if that makes any sense. All right, this is it for this week. I hope you had fun. We'd love to talk more about King Arthur, about the Knights of the Round Table, about assessment, or about ways to keep our students engaged. And hope that this metaphor ended up being something of value that you can carry back to your classrooms. Thanks again, and we'll be back next week with more.